Step number 6, to building, leading, and protecting your business. Sales.
In the words of Orville Ray Wilson, customers buy for their reasons, not yours. So paying attention to what they're buying and why they're buying is absolutely critical in your sales strategy. Selling consummates your marketing efforts. From your marketing plan, of which you put approximately 16 different activities into that funnel, we had talked about the bottom of the funnel being the necessary intention and the necessary outcome, and that's sales, because sales produces cash. Bottom line, your sales team needs to know what the fastest path to cash is for your business. Having a sales team is critical and a necessary part of the whole process. And yet, for some reason, it's overlooked. Regardless of how effective your marketing plan is and how clear your vision is, when the customers come through the door, through your marketing efforts, a highly skilled sales team needs to close the business. And as the business owner, especially if you're a one-person shop, this person might be you. As the owner of your company and the designer of your vision, the strategies, and the marketing plan, it's my opinion that you need to be the most skilled salesperson in your organization. When you reviewed the tactics that supported your strategy, did you allocate enough time day to day to perform the function of sales? If you didn't, you need to go back right now and do so and enact a team that will support you. Sales activity drives your revenue. If you're a new company and as a leader of that company, you're on the front line selling. In fact, we would suggest in certain companies like network marketing, your credibility of being in the field selling will attract other leaders to you and create more credibility for what you're selling. I know so many businesses where the owners, the designers, the creators of the business are behind closed doors, yet they're the ones that have the most passion and drive, and they send out a sales team that's not trained well enough to represent the brand, and ultimately what happens is not enough revenue gets driven for the possibility of the business. Here's a very successful model that we use and would consider you using as you move forward in your sales efforts. The model is called Ask, Tell, Ask. The premise of this model is that you're going to ask someone what they want, really drive for what their problem is. You're going to tell them how exactly what you have will solve their problem, and then ask for the sale. That's essentially how simple the model is, so let's go through a little bit more detail. The first ask. These questions are very open-ended. They're what questions, they're how questions. The goal is that you elicit a response to what it is they want. The ask questions are designed to help you clearly understand what they need, clearly understand what actions they've taken in the past that may or may not have worked. Ask questions in the beginning are designed to help reveal the challenge that the customer feels that they need to solve. And finally, the ask questions are designed to have you listen to their language. What you want to determine is whether their language is limiting or decisive. Because what we know, having followed the Rault model from before, is if they have limiting language, they have limiting thinking. And that limiting thinking is driving limiting results. The intent of the first ask series is to create a customer assessment that allows you, the salesperson, to gain clarity about the customer's stage of readiness to purchase. What you have, where they might fall into the sales process. It's also to determine where you're going to position your sales close. By that we mean, are they brand new? Do they still need some introduction to who you are? Is this customer immediately ready for action? Are they somewhere in between? Do they need a book or a free report? Do they need an interview? Do they need more information? So as you gather this, your job as the salesperson is just to gather information and listen specifically to where their pain is. The skill required in the first part of the ask model is listening. If you're not listening specifically to their language, you will miss what it is that they're exactly asking you for. You'll miss where their pain is. Now let's go to the tell part of the ask, tell, ask model. In the tell section, which is the middle part of your sales strategy, this is where you're going to reframe back to them what you heard. So for example, you might say, "So what I heard you say was that you wanted to get out of debt. Is that what you wanted is to grow your business by 4 times? is that what you wanted is to hire a CFO. So what you're listening for is, what is it that they exactly need? This demonstrates to the customer that you were listening and you clearly heard their need. It also positions you to determine what product or service you're going to offer them to help overcome their challenge. How are you going to serve them? You might start with, how I know we can help is, and continue to position the service or the product you have to solve the exact problem that you uncovered in the first part of the model. So I want you to go to your guidebook, and I want you to go to the first part of this model. I want you to list a few questions that you know as a salesperson you could ask to start eliciting what is the pain, what's the problem that this person might have. Spend some time in your guidebook writing that down. And then in the tell section, reframe based on the problem. How is it that your services could solve that problem? It's really important that you get the language between the two. So for example, if we hear someone say, I want to increase my wealth. Another person may say the same thing differently. They may say, I just want to increase my passive income. Another person could say, I want to increase my net worth. It's my job as the salesperson to be very specific to listen to the language that they used. And when I'm telling them back that I've heard them, I want to say, so what I heard you say is you wanted to increase your wealth or your passive income or your net worth, but it's vitally important that you use the exact words that the customer said. You need them to know that you were listening very clearly and you heard their needs. Spend some time in your guidebook writing that down. Let's go to the final step in the ask, tell, ask model. What you've done so far is you've established where the problem or the pain is. You've told them exactly how your product or service is going to handle that need. And now what you're going to do is do a second set of questions that are closed questions for the intent purpose of getting them to purchase exactly what you've told them you need. So the intent is to get your customer to answer yes questions. They may sound like, what I understood was that our service would be perfect for you right now. Are you ready to move forward today? When would you like to get started? Would you like me to call and see if that's in stock for you? How would you like to pay for that? Visa, MasterCard, check, or cash? The goal here is to get the customer to walk right into the close themselves by answering as many yes questions as you can pose to them. This model has been used in many different forms. We know it's one of the most powerful and successful models. Ask, tell, and ask. Ask them what they want, where their pain is, tell them how you're going to solve it for them, and ask them for the close. If you'd like a further description of the model that I'm talking about, there's a script inside of your guidebook that will have you detail this process a little further and offers you a space to customize this process for your sales team. As we continue to look at your sales process, now that we've given you a model to follow, there's a couple things that I want you to keep in mind. Is number one is if you have multiple salespeople, it's important that you have a script, some format that a team could follow such that your sales of your service and product is getting sold consistently. Another thing that's very important is to have a consistent, frequently asked questions list. So know that whatever you're selling is going to generate a specific number and sort of question over and over and over. So have the answers and have consistent answers that your whole sales team can use over and over and over. And the third is how to handle objections. What you'll notice over time, as long as you're tracking the kind of response you're getting, is that there's certain objections. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I need to talk to my spouse. I need to look at my kid's schedule. I need to look at my spouse's schedule. I need to look at my work schedule. Whatever those typical objections are to the sale of your product or service, make sure you have that again just consistently handled. What are the responses that your sales team can consistently give? Your sales team could be you and various people, or it could be you. But it's important, again, for your credibility that you have a common, consistent answer, because people in the marketplace do talk. And ultimately, these scripts and lists for questions and objections will help you make the sale. Now, given your marketing plan, you'll need to develop the sales model that works exceptionally well for your business. The model that I gave you earlier, ask, tell, ask, works particularly well when you're relationship selling. A few tips that I want to leave you with when developing your sales model custom for your company. You have to know who your customer is and which marketing effort that customer came from. Did it come from the newspaper? Did it come from an email? Did it come from a direct mail campaign? Did it come from an endorsement or a reference from someone else? It's important to know where they came from. Another tip is to test the sales script. Evaluate it, adjust it. Evaluate it, adjust it. And you say, well, how do I evaluate it? You look at the revenue it's producing. You could be working a sales script that you're in love with, and that script is not selling. So we encourage you to continue to adjust the scripts, measure the results, and measure the revenue. Something to really watch on your script's effectiveness is whether it builds enough credibility for what we call a high-end sale. So you may have an item that's only $20, which a certain script would sell, but it's not going to sell a $4,000 item. So really measure the script's effectiveness for the sorts of revenue that you're wanting to sell. Another sales tip for developing your model is make sure that it's flexible. And the absolute most important one is shift your model when the market shifts. You need to shift your scripts such that they match what's going on in your marketing plan and what's going on in the economy. So in your guidebook, I gave you some space, and I really want you to spend some time on designing your custom sales model. As you're designing your sales model, be aware of the whole process that we have just walked through. Your vision, ultimately, your sales are the bottom end of the funnel, which drives and makes sure that your vision ever is going to happen. So your sales has been informed by your marketing. Your marketing has been informed by your revenue forecast, and your revenue forecast has been informed by your strategies. And your strategies are aligned to your vision. So really spend the time, and again, enact a team. If you're not going to be on the front line, be sure you're intimately attached to the sales team, because that sales team drives your ultimate revenue model. If this is a place where you need to hire a specific sales coach, you have to do it. There's copywriters. There are people who specialize in all sorts of models depending on the kind of sales process you have. Be sure that this model is custom to drive the revenues that you need to make your bottom line happen. We'll see you in the next session.
Step number 7, to building, leading, and protecting your business. Leadership.
In the words of Peter Drucker, management is doing things right, and leadership is doing the right things. So make no mistake about it, you are the leader of your business, whether you realize it or not. Your job as the leader is to inspire, motivate, hold and communicate the vision to all of those on your team and to all of your customers. Even if you're a one-stop shop, you have to do these things for yourself and for the team we encourage you to build. Leadership is seeing the future, yet designing the impact that it will have on your business today to lead you towards your vision. Leadership is proactive as opposed to reactive. I want you to be in front of the situation. I call this future pacing versus catching up to or feeling like the whole world's being dropped on you. This concept of future pacing is one of the most profound skills that we teach in our leadership programs today. What do we mean by future pacing, and what effects does it have on you leading a business? Future pacing is the ability to look down the road 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, or longer and start leading your team now. It's to be able to get to that 6 month point prepared, on target, and profitable. If you look back at the marketing plan that is driving your strategies and will produce your revenue, what do you need to be doing now to future pace your business? Remember, you have to pace the work. You don't have to do it. Your job in the do cycle is to be sure everyone else is doing their job. You absolutely have the option to lead the business as opposed to do the business. even if you're at the point in your company where you're heavily in the do mode. One way we recommend you start this process is to first start with the end revenue in mind. Second, what are the strategies that are in place that are going to produce that revenue? Third, what are the tactics needed to support those strategy? And finally, who are the people that are going to work in the business that you will lead? This may feel like a huge summary of what we already covered in the program. And don't be surprised if it takes you a lot of concentrated effort to complete. This is the most strategic work that a leader needs to do to move their business into profits, is future pacing. Your capacity as the leader will definitely increase throughout this process. And as a leader, you must communicate this process. In fact, as a leader, it's your job to communicate and pace this business. No one else will do it as well as you do. And you have the most credibility, being the owner and the designer of this business. The distinction between leadership and management is that management is about follow-through and tactics. Leadership is about the development of people. Put another way, management is about have to, and leadership is about want to. There are 5 C's of leadership that we work with our clients on to develop strong leadership skills in the development of teams. Those 5 C's are character, capacity, credibility, courage, and communication. Let's talk a little bit about each of those C's of leadership. Character. Character is your internal makeup, your personal DNA. To develop a stronger sense of character is to get to know yourself, to assess, to evaluate, and to correct. Your values are deeply embedded in the character of who you are. Your character is what you stand for. The second C, capacity. Your mental ability to conceive or perceive, internalize and lead a concept until it is expressed through your vision. Your company's results are your feedback. You may have a capacity for leadership of only leading 1 person or 2 people or 20 people or 1,000 people or 10,000. The more you're in this business development and planning process, the larger your capacity will become. The third C, credibility. Your personal integrity, a mirror of your actions as opposed to your words. Credibility is vital if you're a 1-person shop. If you're in network marketing, it's your credibility of proven results that will attract other leaders to that business. As a coach, as a facilitator, as a mentor, it's your credibility that will attract customers to your business. The fourth C of leadership is courage. Courage is the inner strength required to overcome obstacles and move you towards your vision. As an owner of the company, having courage to face any conflict or challenge or loss that may occur, courage is about persistence, it's about discipline, it's about desire. As Karl Barth said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. And finally, the fifth C of leadership is communication. It's your ability to transfer your vision into action. I have in the guidebook a scale, of which I'd like you to turn to, and I would like you to do a self-assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, and your leadership ability needs a little work, to a 10, where your leadership skills are so profound, your skills are the best in the industry, and they're recognized as such. So do this self-assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your character? What's your capacity? What's your credibility? Your courage and your communication in the area of leadership. Of the 5 C's that were discussed, I'm going to spend more time on communication in the area of leadership. In the 5 C's, we introduce communication as being an integral part of effective leadership. There's 3 communication skills that I consider the most impactful skills necessary to be an effective leader. I need you to become proficient at them. The skills are the power of questions, action through accountability, and inquiry to solution. Let's talk about each of these for a moment. The power of questions. We've grown up in a society that tells as opposed to asks. We've been conditioned to either tell people what to do or conversely be told what to do. A good example of this would be a parent-child relationship. In fact, it sometimes goes so far as the parent saying, "I'm the parent, and I'll tell you what to do." What this does is it turns off the strategic thinking part of the child's brain, regardless of their age. They don't need to think, because they're always being told what to do. The problem with this type of interaction is that the parent isn't causing the child that they're communicating with to be strategically involved in the action or the decision-making process. I don't know how many clients I have that come to me and say, "My teenage kids just won't listen to me." And the first thing I ask them is, "When's the last time you asked them a question? When did you challenge their decision-making?" See, when you relate this to business, many managers are still in the behavior of telling their staff what to do, under the guise of leadership. Subsequently, as long as the manager dangles that carrot, called a paycheck, in front of their staff, the person will reluctantly respond. The inherent problem with this is that there's no inspired action because the employee was told what to do and didn't have any commitment to action. They were not involved in the decision-making. The power of questioning enacts the strategic side of the brain, which causes the person to think. When asked open-ended questions of what and how, your brain is stimulated to come up with an answer. For example, what will you do? What do you want? What will be the impact? How would you do that? How does it impact the strategy? How does it impact the revenue? What's the first step? Clearly, this type of questioning will always lead to self-directed action, putting the responsibility and the accountability where it belongs, which is on the person or your team member expected to do the action. If a manager tells a staff member what to do and it doesn't work, the manager is still responsible because it was the manager's idea. However, if the leader is asking questions like, "These are the strategies we need to accomplish over the next 6 months. What would you do to contribute to these?" The team is compelled to self-directed action, responsibility, and accountability. Take a moment and think about your leadership style. I want you to go to your guidebook and make a list of some actions that will cause you to start adding questions to your daily communication process. Spend some time in your guidebook writing that down. Now let's talk about the second skill of communication as a leader. That skill is accountability through action. We've talked about the power of questions. When you follow that with accountability through action, you get profound results on your team. In the guidebook, there's a series of powerful questions you can use with your team. The most effective way to hold your team accountable for their actions is through this model. The first question is to ask, what is the task to be completed? Or essentially, what will you do? The second question follows by asking, when does it need to be finished? Or by when? The third question is, with whom? With whom do you need to connect? Or who do you need support from? And the last question is, accountable to who? Who is going to hold you accountable? So whether that's another team member, whether that's you as the owner, someone needs to hold your team, your staff, and yourself accountable for the actions you say you want. An accountability partner is not a blame partner. When we work with teams, we encourage our teams to have accountability partners. That is all the way from the top owner of the company to the janitor who cleans the floors. An accountability partner is not a blame partner. An accountability partner is one who will help support your intentions. For example, "George, I know you were committed to doing this, and the deadline is fast approaching. What do you need? What support do you need? Do you need to renegotiate with the team? Do you need additional help? Do you need additional resources?" So what the accountability partner is doing, it's prompting to action the person who said that they would take on that task. The accountability partner's main goal is to prompt and support the person's intention. Again, in your guidebook, I've provided some space. Where in your business can you start putting in the accountability through action model such that you have more power and more impact to your bottom line? Spend some time in your guidebook writing that down. Let's talk about the third skill for communication as leader, and that is inquiry to solution. Because of the way we've been conditioned in a tell society, we're also conditioned to look at problems, not the solution. People tend to complain about what's not working. In fact, most people talk about what they don't want rather than what they do want. Most of our clients have the hardest time telling us what it is that they really want. Typically, what we know when someone's complaining is that there's an unspoken request or need that they have. Let me say that again. When someone is complaining, there's an unspoken request or need that they have. Their orientation is to focusing on the problem and what's not happening. Your job as leader is to inquiry to solutions. Inquiries sound very much like a powerful question. What is it that you need? Could be a question that you ask someone who's complaining. Another one could be, what is your request? Is there something you need to ask for? The goal of an effective leader is to recondition your team to look for solutions rather than being problem-focused. So let me give you an example of inquiry to solution. We work with many large corporations, and what we hear a lot of times is, you know, my manager doesn't listen to me. My manager doesn't listen to me. And when we really get into the inquiry to solution, what we're looking for is, what's the real issue that's going on? So when we ask them, well, what's your request or what do you need to ask for? Typically, it doesn't have a lot to do with listening. What it has to do with is that they need resources. They need help. They've been overwhelmed with deadlines and they need some prioritization of their work. So when you use the skill of inquiry to solution, it's necessary as a leader that you really listen to hear the truth of what the request is. So as a leader of your business, I want you to watch where there's complaints or unspoken requests and really start using this skill of inquiry to solution to solve problems, keep people proactive, and move them through accountability. This skill can be followed by the use of accountability through action. So when you uncover a problem, take them through the four-step accountability model, which is, well, what will you do now? And when will you do it? With whom? And what accountability? And by whom you'll be held accountable. So in the space provided in your guidebook, I want you to outline a situation that has presented itself recently in your business where someone has come to you with a problem or perhaps a complaint about a situation. And then use this new set of three skills and outline powerful questions, inquiry to solution, and follow by the accountability through action so that there is accountability and a completion to the process and the problem. Spend some time in your guidebook writing that down. One last area that I want to talk about before we leave this area of leadership is the leadership of team. We've talked about team throughout this whole program, building, leading, and protecting your business. And from a business perspective, as the owner of the company, it's your job to think about who needs to be on your team. So in your guidebook, there's a T-chart. And what I want you to do with that is I want you to list all the team members that are necessary to be in your business to move it forward and all the team members that need to be on your business to move it forward. So let's talk about what I mean by that. In the business would be the internal daily activity of the business. So for example, that would be your assistant. It'd be a bookkeeper. It could be a graphic artist. It could be a production manager. It could be an inventory manager. It could be any of the roles that it's going to take to move your business forward in the business activities. On the business activities are really where you as the owner need to step out of the day-to-day activities and look strategically at the whole of your business. So on the business team members would be your CPA. It'd be a tax strategist. It'd be a financial planner. It would be your corporate attorney. It would be your coach. It would be a mentor. It would be the stockholders. It would be the board of advisors. Because what you're looking at when you look at on the team is you're looking at the whole. You're looking at the vision. Are we lined up? Are we meeting our strategic intents? Is the strategies driving revenue? Are the revenues being held true and supported by the marketing plan and by the sales efforts? Your job as the owner of this company is to lead it to action and lead it to profits. Actions drive revenue. We'll see you in the next session.
learning, action, and integration.
As we complete this program of building, leading, and protecting your business, I want to congratulate you. There are so few people that I know that have the level of commitment that it takes to walk through this 7-step process to design a business plan, to design an implementation strategy, to get the results that they absolutely deserve. To do a quick review of the 7 steps, we started with vision. You getting clear about the destination of the business that you absolutely desire to build. The 2nd step was strategies and tactics, to define the strategies that drive the vision and to list the tactics that support the strategies on a daily basis, and then putting those tactics into a calendar. The 3rd step is revenue modeling. And again, this is not your accounting system. This is a forecasting of revenue that ensures that your strategies will be met and ensures your vision will be driven and propelled to success. The 4th step is, as you build this business as an asset, it is critical that you protect this business. Keep it in an entity structure to support the protection of your asset, protection of privacy, and ensure the maximum benefit of tax strategies available. The 5th step to building, leading, and protecting your business is marketing. To have a very definitive marketing plan that drives the sales efforts to drive the revenues that you forecasted. The 6th step is sales. To build a very custom sales model specific to your business to drive the revenues necessary for you to have a profitable business. And last but not least is leadership. Your entire job as an owner of this company is to lead your in-house team, your internal team, and to lead the team that's strategically on your business. Leadership is one of the most profound skills, I think, overlooked in business development today. You can be in action and drive hard and drive your people hard, and what we know is that it gets hard for you. If you approach your business with leadership such that you're leading with such power that people, even if they weren't getting paid, would want to follow you. As we complete building, leading, and protecting your business, I want to take us to our final exercise of learning, action, and integration. As a coaching company, it's imperative that we ensure learning occurs. We grew up in a society where learning didn't really happen. In fact, what happened was memorization and regurgitation. And because of that memorization regurgitation process that happened in most traditional schools is that we get rewarded. In fact, we got A's for being the best memorizer and the best regurgitator of whatever information. And what that's conditioned us to do is want a template. Before I was in the wealth industry, I was in the health industry. And it's interesting the parallels of both industries. In the health industry, everyone wanted a magic pill to look good. In the wealth industry, everyone wants a magic pill to be rich. And I consider building your business as an asset one of the best wealth generators available to you on the planet. So think about how you were conditioned to memorize and regurgitate, and think about your need for a template. See, the brilliance in this model of entrepreneurialism is there is no template. I've given you a framework. I've given you a 7-step framework. I know this works. I've built very successful businesses. I've helped others build very successful businesses with this process. The fun part is there's not a template. The challenge for most people and your conditioning is that you want one, and that you make up that if you regurgitate this exact template, you should get an A in this world called entrepreneurialism, in this world called business development. Unfortunately, that's not the truth. So you get your creative, inspirational leadership mind around your business, and you get to have what you want. So my encouragement to you is to get clear about what you want and live the life that you deserve. Let me share a metaphor with you that has been a big part of my life. And I also want this to serve as an invitation to Laurel's Big Table. I want you to think about how many of you grew up as a large family or spent time with one. And did you ever notice when you were younger at a family gathering that there was a big table for the adults during the meal, usually all stretched out, had a tablecloth and looked great. And then there was a little table, kind of like a card table, in the other room where all the kids were relegated to. Think about it. All the adults sat around the big table in the dining room where there was always more people than could fit. and the kids were asked to sit at the smaller table. While you probably enjoyed the meal and the company of the little table, you still knew you were missing something special by not being at the big table. From out in the other room where you were at the little table, you couldn't hear the main conversation or all the juicy tidbits of information that the grown-ups were discussing. You felt like you were the last to know what was currently being passed around. You were definitely last for seconds and clearly last in the dessert line. So did you ever have a strong desire, something inside of you causing you to say to yourself, "I wish I could sit at the big table"? See, what I submit in most of my programs is that most people sit at the little table. In fact, I see people sit at the little table their whole life, waiting for permission from somebody to invite them to the big table. I went and sat at the big table pretty early in my life. I was blessed to have incredible parents, incredible mentors, and incredible people who encouraged me to play this life big. So I encourage you to come join the big table. Consider this your invitation. Learn, be in action, and integrate the building, leading, and protecting your business into your life, and live the life of your dreams. I'll see you at the big table. This is Laurel Langmire. Thank you.
If the program you have just heard has left you energized, motivated, and ready to take control of your financial future once and for all, then you should consider being a part of Laurel Langmire's renowned coaching and mentoring program, Laurel's Big Table. This intensive year-long coaching and mentoring program is limited to only 30 people per session and includes 3 2-day in-person intensive mentoring days with Laurel Langmire and the rest of your 30-person mastermind team. 6 private one-on-one 30-minute coaching sessions with Laurel Langmire. Weekly, monthly, and quarterly mastermind calls with your Big Table Mastermind team. Free monthly newsletter, Talk Out Loud. Free participation in selected live teleseminars. Free Expression of Your Power CDs and workbook. And 10 to 50% discounts on other products, services, and events. In this coaching and mentoring program, you'll receive a thorough assessment of your current professional and personal needs and tactical, you-focused plans that will enable you to achieve your goals quickly and effectively. And that's just the beginning. Thousands of people have experienced massive, positive changes in their financial position, professional status, motivation level, and overall outlook as a result of Laurel's coaching programs. They've been heralded by participants as fabulous and inspiring, awesome, and the turning point in my financial freedom. Find out what this supercharged coaching experience is all about and what it can do for you by visiting www.laurelsbigtable.com. That's www.laurelsbigtable.com, or by calling toll-free 888-262-2402 today.